Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazenia, the host of Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. I want to talk about we were created to be related. We are not islands unto ourselves. We are part of a wider continent. We all have a large menagerie of relationships. I want to share with you the letter of James. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God our Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. And that's so true. People wonder about religion and what it means to be holy, and they fast, and they put on ashes, and they do penance. And all those things are good, don't get me wrong, but the prophet Isaiah said, this is the fasting I want, help people. Really, that's what the season of Lent is all about in the Catholic Church. It's about prayer, and it's about almsgiving, and it's about fasting, but more than anything else, it's about people. It's about visiting people, helping people, loving people, caring for people, being kind to people. That is what religion is. It's about relationships, good, solid, healthy relationships with people, with yourself, and with God. And so we were created to be related. And if you don't believe that, all you got to do is look at your belly. And when you look down at your belly, you're going to see a little indentation that's called your belly button. And that comes from the fact that when you and I were born, we were connected to our mother. We were already related at the moment of our birth. And what happens is we are connected to our mother with an umbilical cord. That umbilical cord, of course, provides nutrients and moisture to the infant so that it can live until it's cut. And my point is that we're connected to our mother. And then when we're born, we have a relationship with our mother, with our father. And I was born into a family. We were all born into a family. Even if you were adopted, you were born into a family because all of us were born connected. So I was born into a family with a mom and dad, and I had two older sisters. I was the only boy. So immediately when we're created to be related. And I learned a lot about relationships by interacting with my mom and dad, as I'm sure you did too, then my two older sisters. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. I had a little bit of a problem with one of my sisters growing up. Maybe you could call it a sibling rivalry or some kind of a difficulty. Whatever you want to call it, there was some conflict there. So we've worked on it a little bit, that relationship, down throughout the ages. And here's one of the ways that I find that I work on it now. She lives a long distance away from me. So this is something called texting. And you all know what iPhones are. And if you're struggling with one of your siblings or maybe a neighbor or maybe somebody that you're having difficulty with, you don't have to be their best friend, but you can text them. And texting has provided us a way to connect with people, even if you're not seeing them face to face. And that's one of the ways that I've realized that people know that they're created to be related, because look at social media. We have Twitter, we have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have websites. Remember one time I went to dinner. It was at a restaurant, and I was sitting there with my friend talking, and I looked over at the other table, and there were two people at the other table just sitting there, and both of them on either side of the table, both of them were texting. And I looked at my friend, and I said, I wonder if they're texting each other, because they weren't talking, they were just texting. So even at dinners, we're in relationship. In fact, I remember at our community, I wanted to let you know that I'm a member of a community, we're called Passionists. And at our community, one of the places where we get together in relationship the most, certainly in the chapel when we pray together, but daily meals, we share breakfast, lunch, and dinner together, the six of us living in community. And one time we were in community. We were having a meal, and one of the men pulled out his phone and started texting. And I slapped him on the arm and I said, put that thing down, we're having a meal. Now is our time to relate to each other. And really, it's during the meals that we spend time communicating, spend time sharing and dialoguing, saying what's been going on in life. And our superior is so kind and he's so nice that he wants to keep the momentum of the community going, because inevitably, sometimes there are times when there's a lull in the conversation and nobody's saying anything. He will actually bring notes about what's going on in the world, conversation starters, so that if there is a lull in the conversation, he'll pull out his notes and he'll just start to spark a conversation. And I love him because what he's doing is he's trying to build relationships. Because as we know, we were all created to be related. And religion, as I said, yeah, it's about fasting, and it's about other things, it's about penance, it's about ashes, it's about almsgiving. But more than anything else, our religion, Christianity, is about people. All you have to do is look at some of the parables of Jesus when he talks about the final judgment. We'll be judged on how we treated those who were hungry and those who were naked and those who were in prison. And Jesus said, whatever you did to them, you did to me. And then he told the story about the Good Samaritan and the religious people. You know, they passed by the man who was beaten up, but it was a Samaritan, an unlikely, who attended to him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. So there's no doubt that our religion is all about relationships. The Bible itself really is a book of relationships. Just thumb through the Bible. Abraham, David, and Noah, and Sarah, and Deborah, and all Ezekiel, the prophets, and all these different people. And then, of course, when Jesus came, and Paul, and all the apostles, all in relationship, and the importance of relationships. So I wanted to share with you that our primary relationship is with God. And God reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This comes right from the Bible. Jesus says, go therefore, baptizing everybody in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As Catholics, we make the sign of the cross. In fact, first prayer I ever learned, given to me by my mother, of course, if I was talking about relationships, first prayer I ever learned was the sign of the cross, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So from the Bible we learn God reveals himself to us as Trinity. So what does that mean? It means that God himself is in relationship with himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And don't let that confuse you, because I remember I was talking to a man recently and he said, you know, I believe in God, but I'm not sure about the Trinity. I'm not sure how that works. And I like to tell people the Trinity is not a mystery to be solved. It is a relationship to be entered into. That's right. Father, Son, and Spirit invite us into relationship with him. A way to look at it is St. Patrick used to use, you know, from Ireland, he used to use the shamrock. Shamrock has three leaves, but it's connected to one stem. It's one, yet it's three. I like to use the image of light. Picture a light beam coming through a window, and there is a solid beam of light. Light is one beam, but it's heat, light, and energy all in one beam. The same way, Father, the Creator, Jesus, the Redeemer, Holy Spirit, the Sanctifier. One God, three persons, three functions, but one God. I remember one time I was on retreat, and as I walked into the retreat center, I saw an icon by a Russian artist. His name was Rublev, and it was an icon of the Trinity. And it was portrayed as the three angels that appeared to Abraham sitting at a table. There were the three angels at one each side of the table, and the fourth side of the table was wide open. So as you come up to the icon, you see the three angels, and immediately your eyes are drawn to the empty place at the table. Because Rublev wanted to portray that Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, are inviting us into a relationship with him. When you pray, I want you to pray to Father, to your Father who created you. I want you to pray to Jesus, your Redeemer, loves you, died for you on the cross. And then I also want you to pray to the Holy Spirit who lives in you, loves you, and is working in your life. So when you pray, don't just pray arbitrarily to God out there somewhere. Develop intimacy. Develop communion. Develop oneness and intimacy with God as your Father, as Jesus, as the Holy Spirit. See, we weren't just created. We were created to be related. And primarily, we were created to be related to God. So I invite you to pray to God and to deepen your relationship with God. And then realize that also our religion is very much about relationships with other people. You see, family life, and we all grew up in a family, teaches us about forgiveness and about kindness and about generosity. And I have all these the menagerie of relationships in my life right now. Started off with family, mom and dad, two older sisters. Then, of course, you know, you start to make friends and you go to school and you have schoolmates. And then you have other relationships as you go on. And I remember after graduation from high school and then college and then community life as a passionist, I meet all these people and lay people. I have partners, I have benefactors, I have people who minister with me and support me, people that work with me in the ministry, just a menagerie of relationships. And one of the things I've found out, if you want to improve your relationships, always talk to people, ask them how they're doing, talk about their life, be interested in other people. And one of the things that I do is I try to take note of when your birthday is. And I have a calendar at home. I find out the date of your birthday and I put it into my calendar. And then of course, most people that I know, I have their email or their text or their phone number. And even if I haven't seen you in a while, I have some friends in Florida, for example, that I haven't seen in a while. And when it was his birthday a little bit back, I texted him and said, happy birthday. He was bowled over that I remembered him. And that's a way that you connect to people and you build up your relationships. So really remember, if you want to be religious, if you want to be a Christian, of course we're a Christian because we believe in Jesus and we're filled with the Holy Spirit and He loves us. But if you want to follow Jesus the way He wants us to follow Him, then it's all about people. It's not about solitary me or solitary you. Remember, we were created to be related. I remember a woman came up to me one time and she said, Father, God doesn't hear my prayers. And I looked at her and I said, what? What are you talking about? She said, God doesn't hear my prayers. I go, what do you mean? She said, well, Father, my husband is an alcoholic. And I have prayed for him to change for years and nothing has happened. God doesn't hear my prayers. And I kind of smiled at her and I said, well, what you need to know is this. I told her a little bit about the wisdom of the 12-step program. If you know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Al-Anon, that's for spouses of alcoholics, the wisdom of the 12-step program says that maybe you can't change another person, but you can work on yourself. And I talked about things like detachment, forgiveness, anger management, surrendering to God. These are things that she could do even though her husband was drinking. So what I told her is that God is hearing your prayer, but what God is probably doing in your prayer is trying to work on you. You may not be able to change other people, and that's the thing about relationships. We all want people to be the way that we want them to be, and relationships are so gray and nebulous and messy, if you will, muddy. We can't fix everybody, but we can work on ourselves. So if you're in a relationship, of course, we all are in relationships where the people that we're related to aren't behaving the way we want them to. That's the time to pray the prayer of Reinhold Niebuhr. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that prayer of acceptance is so important because when it comes to relationships, don't we always want to try to make everybody the way we want them to be, and they won't be that way. So we're either going to be frustrated, but we can have peace and acceptance. if we allow God to work on us. And that's one thing I've discovered about relationships. I've come to a deep acceptance about people. I've tried to accept people the way they are and I quit trying to change them all the time because it was driving me crazy. I live in community, I live in relationships with a lot of different people, and they're all different. And you know, some people laugh too much, some people don't laugh enough. Some people are, you know, quiet, some people are noisy, and you just have to accept them the way they are. You can't change them, you have to change. And when it comes to praying for other people, watch out, God may just be working in you. And then I had a woman come up to me one time and she was talking about her son-in-law. And she had a bitterness and resentment about her son-in-law because he had abused verbally and physically her daughter. So in other words, he had hurt her physically. And this woman, the mother-in-law, came up to me and said, "Father, I just can't forgive him." And she talked to me more about what he did to her daughter and said, "Father, I just can't forgive him." And then she talked about the hurt in the family and how her daughter had been really suffering with this abuse. And she said a third time, "I just can't forgive him." Now, I've been trained in psychology and I've been trained to listen as a counselor. And when she said, "I just can't forgive him," the third time, I finally said to her, I said, "Well, do you want to forgive him? I mean, you've said, 'I just can't,' three times. Do you want to forgive him? Because I sense you do." And she said, "Well, I'd like to, but I just can't." I said, "Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say after me, 'I can forgive him.'" And then I let her do it, and she said, "I can forgive him." And then I said, "Let's try it again. 'I can forgive him.'" And she said it, and she straightened up a little bit. And I said, "One more time, 'I can forgive him.'" And she said, "I can forgive him." She got even straighter, and you could see the change. You could see that God was working in her life just by her words. We all have people that we're angry about, bitter, resentful. We've been hurt by them. They drive us crazy. We want them out of our life. And it seems like we just can't forgive them. They've hurt us. Well, forgiveness does not mean that they're right. Forgiveness means that God is right. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What is Jesus teaching us in the Our Father? He's teaching us that we open ourselves up to God's forgiveness as we forgive other people. And it's very important to forgive. And when that woman did that, I knew that she was on the way to forgiving her son-in-law. Yes, he did wrong. He abused her daughter, verbally and physically. It's a horrible crime. But yet, if you hold the resentment, you hold the anger, it's just going to lead to being all bent out of shape all the time. It'll make you miserable. That's the thing. You know, most people that hurt you, they're off having a good time. They don't even know what they've done. And you're there miserable. They could care less about it. So why don't you forgive them and let it go and move on with your life? Forgive and live. I'm inviting you who are watching my program right now, and this is important. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to be religious, if you want to be holy, forgiveness is going to be one of the greatest challenges in your life. And I want to tell you right now, one of the major ways that you can forgive somebody else is by speaking it out of your mouth, saying in prayer, "I forgive him. I forgive her. Yes, they hurt me. But by your grace, Heavenly Father, I forgive them." And wow, set yourself free. So I pray that by the grace of Jesus, by the power, the anointing coming through this television program at this moment right now, you're going to be given a grace to let go of the resentment, let go of the anger, to be benevolent and good and forgive that person. And then one thing I hear from people is that they have a problem with their spouse because of the discrepancy with religion. What do I mean by that? Well, one woman talked to me and she said, "Father, I go to church, but my husband doesn't come with me." Whether it be Catholic or Protestant or whatever denomination you are, oftentimes this happens. For some reason, maybe your husband doesn't really believe, or he believes and doesn't believe in institutionalized religion, whatever it is, and they don't go to church. Well, whenever I get that type of a situation, and there's a wide discrepancy of believing, I always tell the woman or the man, Well, at least you have to be positive, because at least they're letting you go to Mass. At least they're letting you go to church. So try to focus on the positives, because there are people out there that won't let their spouse go to Mass or won't let their spouse go to church. Then in addition to that, there's a discrepancy, because oftentimes what happens is the married couple will go to church together, but they have different levels of believing. Like the woman might want to give more in the collection and the husband doesn't want to give, or the husband sings and the woman doesn't, or there's just a discrepancy of religion. When they go home, maybe the man reads the Bible and the woman doesn't. So I think you know what I mean. And what you have to do is realize that not everybody is exactly the same. Try to stay positive, count your blessings, and try not to judge the other person. If you want to bring them higher, don't preach to them. Smile at them and love them. Let them catch you praying, reading the scriptures, but don't make demands on them. So you got to realize that there's nothing wrong with you. There's discrepancies. There's different levels of faith, and it's hard to find a partner that's exactly like you are. So forgive the other person. Be kind. Take the high road. Be kind. And then what about, I hear this from parents all the time, Father, it's all about relationships. Remember what I told you, we're created to be related. And to be a Christian is to be in relationships and to try to do the best you can with people that have hurt you, people that you're married to, people everywhere. So one thing that I hear from parents especially is, Father, you know, we're very religious and everything, but my children have fallen away from the faith. I brought them up in Catholic education. I brought them up in Catholic universities. I paid all kinds of money for them to get educated, but they don't go to church anymore. What should I do? Just pray? Don't ever say, just pray. Prayer isn't a last resort. It's a first defense. Yes, you pray. Of course you pray. And by the way, I don't think it's your fault when your children fall away. It would be if it was just your child. But I hear it all the time. It's like 80% of children have fallen away from the faith, or even more. So it's not you, it's the culture swallowing them up. And it doesn't mean because they've fallen away right now that they won't be coming back. That's why you got to be praying. And take heart about Saint Monica. You've all heard of her. Her son Augustine was a rabble-rouser. He dabbled in Eastern religions, had a child out of wedlock, lived a playboy life. Well, his mother Monica was praying for him the whole time. Eventually, he heard a sermon by St. Ambrose, and it so touched his life that he became a believer, gave his life to Christ. And Augustine became a doctor of the church and became a saint of the church. And that's very rare in the Catholic Church, to be a canonized saint. And I believe it was all because of the prayers of his mother Monica. Wow. So God hears your prayer, and it is all about relationships, and you have to believe for your children that they will not only come back to church, but develop a personal, living relationship with Jesus Christ. Be saved, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we're after. So relationships are extremely important, and yes, I want you to be holy. I want you to be religious. Yes, fast, give alms, pray. Do all the good works that the scriptures invite us to do. But more than anything else, as James says, visit orphans and widows in their affliction. In other words, reach out to people. I really don't think you can be an authentic follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, without having some type of an outreach. And I don't mean just giving your money away. I mean authentically participating in some way to help people. Now, I know that some of you are at home and you're homebound and you really can't go out, but you can still pray for people, and I'm sure you do. You can give money. I have a prison ministry program where you can write letters to people in prison. There are all kinds of ways that you can get involved. But this is religion. We were created to be related. And please invest yourself. Get involved. Participate and touch somebody's life. So let me wrap all this up. We are not islands unto ourselves. We are all part of a continent. We were created to be related. And I'm praying that because of this program, you will realize that your primary relationship is with God, and you will give yourself to God more fully. Then you will forgive the people that have hurt you. You will invest your lives in the relationships that you have around you. Compassion, caring, kindness. And then you'll go outside the circle of your family to the wider circle of all humanity and make a difference in somebody's life. That's what it means to live with passion. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Bazania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.